And our scripture for the day from Proverbs chapter 7, the first four verses, and from Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Listen to these words recorded by Solomon to his son. My son, keep my words and treasure my command within you. Keep my command and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. And from Matthew's gospel, when they have heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon, The Wisdom to Worship. The Wisdom to Worship. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, The Wisdom to Worship. Thanks be to God, we have made it from 1 year to the next year. A time of new expectations, new aspirations, and even for some, opportunity to create New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you were present during the 4 o'clock service. The kids did a great job, 4 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. The kids did a great job as it relates to the Charlie Brown Christmas. So much so, I wanted to share this with you as it relates to Lucy's New Year's resolution to listen more, and to be more positive. Are you making New Year's resolutions? Charlie Brown was so excited. He was so excited that Lucy was going to start the new year off right. She was going to listen more. She made a commitment to listen more and to give more of a positive response to others. Charlie Brown was the first client. He went up to her booth there, and he poured out of his heart. He shared with her, Lucy, I'm so excited that you're willing to listen more and listen more, and you're going to give positive responses. After he continued his long litany, Lucy finally said, okay, Charlie Brown, what are you saying? Some of you got it. That's right. She wasn't listening. It has been well said that New Year's resolutions will last for no more than 15 days, and some people are able to carry them out throughout the whole year. New Year's resolutions basically fall into three categories. Let me give them to you and help you fill in the blanks. Number one, longevity. Longevity. We want to live forever. Number two, prosperity. We want to be prosperous, have resources at our fingertips. And then number three, peace, peace. This world in which we live and with all the chaos that is going on, we're seeking peace. And we can only find it in the Prince of Peace. Now for others, New Year's resolutions, they seek to have a more spiritual life, more depth in their spiritual life. They consider to exercise more and to eat less. New Year's resolutions are important goals and aspirations. But yet, Sir Francis said these words, and I quote, New Year's resolutions are really a waste of time, for they're creating predictions that can't be fulfilled, end of quote. Well, if you look at this passage of scripture that we have before us in Matthew's second chapter, you'll see indeed St. Francis was wrong on that account. For as the wise men who were following the star and heard about the newborn king, in Bethlehem or Judea. And if they would follow that star, they would help fulfill the prophecy that was shared way back in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, look at Numbers, the 24th chapter and the 17th verse in the Old Testament, and you'll see how the people of God, the prophets of God, shared as it relates to God indeed coming in human skin and dwelling among his people. Numbers, the 24th chapter and the 17th verse says, and I quote, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star of Jacob has now come to Israel." Eugene Peterson said it this way in his gospel interpretation, John, the first chapter in the 14th verse. He says that flesh and blood through Jesus Christ has moved into our neighborhood. Isn't that good to know that Jesus is in our hood? He lives and dwells among us. Well, let me call your attention to this passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 2, and then also give you a reference to Matthew chapter 1. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, there's a long litany, a heritage, if you will, of the descendants of Jesus, 42 generations, long before ancestry.com. Matthew comes along like any different than any other gospel, because he gives us that long litany of all this begotten and begotten and begotten in order to get to Bethlehem of Judea, where indeed the Savior of the world would be born in a manger. Well, in Matthew chapter 2, it's picked up as it relates to the Magi's coming. They'd seen his star, and they were able to follow that star to the exact location. But before they were able to get to that location, they had to pass through and have an encounter with an earthly king, King Herod. And King Herod wanted to know, what is this that you're talking about, a king being born and I'm the king on the throne? So he gives them permission to go and to search diligently until you have found this newborn baby. And then come back and give me the report. But look how God works it out. In fact, I want to ask you this question as the second bullet point question in your sermon notes. What compelled the Magi to put aside all that they were doing to follow a star? I want you to ask your other neighbor that question. Here we go. What compelled the Magi to put aside all that they were doing to follow a star? What compelled them to go through many dangers, toils, and snares, to go through this long journey following a star? Well, as you well know, they were astrologers, and it was their habit to compare the skies to prophetic literature, including the Jewish scriptures, the scriptures that we have unfolding before us. And so indeed, they humbled themselves and they were obedient and willing to follow the star. Life is made up of habits. When you got up this morning, you had already put in your mind and your spirit, perhaps the night before, but indeed that you were coming to worship, that you were coming to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But before you came to worship, you decided to freshen up, put on some clothes, and drive to the church. Life is made up of habits. We do things by habit over and over again. Now, if you don't believe that, let me give you this illustration. Tomorrow night, there's a big ball game. Georgia versus Alabama. And life is made up of habits. I shared at the first service, before I could get out of the car good, Charlie was standing there. He said, "Who are you going for with the big game?" My response is easy. The national champs have already been crowned. They're in Orlando, the University of Central Florida. That's what they claim. 13-0. They're perfect. Now, they're not the first team to give this self-championship title to themselves. long before the playoffs, we've had other universities that have declared themselves national champions and even have the banners to prove it. But tomorrow is a big game, and tomorrow's game will be watched by millions around the world. And the team that will win will be the team that will exercise the habits that they have practiced long before the summer months, long before the game, way in the spring. They have practiced these habits. And if they're able to execute the habits against their opponent, that's the team that will win. In fact, I want to share with you one of my New Year's resolutions, and I don't mind sharing it publicly. After tomorrow night's game, I won't watch football for the next 6 months. I'm going to keep that New Year's resolution. Yeah, life is made up of habits. We do things by habit. When we go home perhaps the same way. We do it by habits. Here are these magi willing to follow the star in order to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you willing, am I willing in 2018 to go deeper into God's word, to follow Jesus all the way, to love him more, to get closer and closer to him in order that his light may shine in my life, that it may shine into the lives of others. These magis were willing to do that. In fact, if you look at the next bullet point, it's this here on your sermon notes. What do we really know about the wise men? Well, let me share as it relates to the biblical perspective and also the historical perspective, because they come together to give us more information than normally is presented by Matthew in his interpretation. Indeed, there were three gifts, so we immediately assume that they were just three wise men. It could have easily been more. But these three wise men come in a historical fact, so much so it was in 1618, according to history, where the artists, Peter, Paul, Reuben, he came and for the first time, he painted the human images of the wise men. You see it right here on the screen, at the bottom of the screen. Three wise men came from three different continents, from Africa, from Asia, and from Europe. It was a diverse group. And names were attached to them as well. Belshazzar is the first one on my left. The one in the middle is known as Merkur. And the last one is Gaspar. All three made the journey by following the star in order to see the Christ child. Now look closely in the scriptures, and I've read the scripture for you. In Matthew's gospel, the second chapter, starting with the 9th verse, and you'll see, indeed, Jesus was no longer in the manger. He was now a child. It had taken them several years in order to get there. And today, Christian churches all over the world celebrate and observe what is known as Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany Sunday is today. It is merely the manifestation of Christ coming to dwell with his people. Praise be to God. The people who walked in darkness have now seen a marvelous light. It is Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's wonderful to know that he wants to continue to shine into our souls because he loved us. What compelled these men to do it? Two things. As I haste along, the magis followed the heavens and their hearts in order to get to Jesus. Will we follow the heavens and allow our hearts to be changed by connecting and following Jesus in 2018? I want to close by sharing this story with you. It is a story about a soldier. This soldier was dying in the foxhole. He knew it was the closing of his day. And so he asked for a chaplain to come. The chaplain came, Chaplain got down in the foxhole with the soldier, and the soldier said, "Chaplain, I need a light." Chaplain immediately got out of the foxhole, and he looked and found a cigarette. He lit that cigarette, he brought it back to that foxhole, and he gave it to his soldier. And the soldier said, "No, not that light. I need the light." And the chaplain reached in his pocket and got his New Testament Bible. And he read John, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse. Listen to these words. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That soldier said, "That's it. That's it. That's what I need." Not only for that soldier, but for you and me, we need Jesus. He is the light of the world and joy to the world. The Lord has come. Do you have room for Jesus in 2018? Will you worship him and have the wisdom to worship him in spirit and in truth? In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.